Dr. John Green with us from the University of Akron, professor of political science. And John, first of all, let's go to Tuesday, how you saw the Ohio primary, a low voter turnout, which is always expected. But I wanted to get your thoughts in a presidential year. 22% seems a little low to me. Maybe not. I'm kind of in your arena a little bit. Let's start right there, John.
Well, you know, the most interesting thing that happened on Tuesday was the Republican senatorial primary, where Bernie Moreno had a great night, won the Republican nomination with about 50% of the vote, which is pretty interesting because he had two really strong opponents. And, of course, a big factor in Moreno's victory was the endorsement of former President Trump. And Trump, doesn't always have a positive effect in endorsements, but in Ohio Senate races, he seems to. You know, back in 2022, he endorsed J.D. Vance, and this year, Bernie Moreno. Of course, part of the factor could be the low turnout. And one reason, I think, was because the presidential nominations have essentially been settled. You know, it looks like it's going to be Biden for the Democrats and Trump for the Republicans. And so a lot of people that would normally turn out in a presidential primary year in Ohio, you know, decided not to bother because they cared about the presidential race, and that's pretty much settled. So pretty interesting. One of the big questions, of course, is how well will Moreno do against the incumbent Democratic Senator Sherrod Brown, who's, of course, been a fixture of Ohio politics for a long time and will certainly run a very competitive race in the fall.
You know, John, out of the Sherrod Brown camp, and of course, words are words, but the word we are hearing is they kind of like the idea of Bernie Moreno getting that victory because you mentioned Mr. Dolan and LaRose were strong candidates. They feel good up going up against Bernie Moreno, the Cleveland businessman. But of course, a race is a race, and they'll have that Trump backing as well going into November.
You know, I think you're right. And, you know, if you think about Matt Dolan and Frank LaRose, these were more moderate Republicans and with, strong records in state government. So, in some ways, you know, if you're an incumbent senator, you know, it's more difficult to run against an incumbent office holder with, you know, a pretty good record. Whereas, you know, a complete new person, who's never held public office, a businessman is perhaps easier to run against. But, you know, sometimes voters want to change. And so somebody who's outside of the political arena can be very appealing to them.
With us is Dr. John Green, professor of political science at the University of Akron. One of those stats that caught my eye coming out of Tuesday, John, was Nikki Haley. And even though she has backed out of the presidential race, still garnered in the teens as far as voters voting for her. I was wondering how you look at that. Is that kind of a warning sign for November from the state of Ohio from the former president, Donald Trump?
You know, I think it is very significant, even though there's no race on the Republican side because everybody but Trump has withdrawn. There clearly are elements of the Republican coalition that are not comfortable with Donald Trump. And, how that'll play out in November is hard to say, but, you know, it's looking like a really pretty close and competitive election. And so Trump, the Republican nominee, and of course, thinking of all the other Republicans down ticket, really need a unified Republican Party, just like, you know, the Democrats need a unified Democratic Party. So I think there's some warning signs there, not just in Ohio. You know, if you look at some of the other states that have had their presidential primaries, you know, there is a skeptical of Trump vote that has been showing up in those contests.
Well, and he has been at it with his jaws again, right, John? He used the term bloodbath there last week that turned a lot of the GOP around and really raised some eyebrows there. Talk a little bit about the former president, Donald Trump, and his connection with the GOP party. Is it as strong as it was before?
Well, you know, it's a really good question. I think in terms of the organizational structure of the Republican Party, you know, Trump probably was always basically, you know, prominent, but now he's much more in control. You know, just a couple of weeks ago, there was a replacement of the chairwoman of the Republican National Committee by a Trump loyalist, and in fact, Trump's daughter-in-law, Laura Trump, is the deputy chair of the party. So if you just look at the machinery of the party and also at the endorsements of sitting Republican office holders, you know, Trump's in a pretty good spot. But if you move beyond organization, which, of course, is important in a campaign, to the actual voters, I mean, there is a great deal of skepticism towards Trump. Poll after poll shows that there are just a lot of people that have an unfavorable view of the former president, even though they might agree with some of his policies. And part of it is his contentious style. One of the Donald Trump has a gift, if you want to use that word, for getting attention. And, you know, that's good in some respects. In other respects, it can be very bad because it turns people off. And that's the Trump campaign really needs to find some kind of balance there if they're going to be successful in November.
With us is Dr. John Green, professor of political science at the University of Akron. Now, on the other ticket, right, John, President Joe Biden has his own things going on. The Israel situation and the war with Hamas is certainly working against him in some sectors with his support. The TikTok situation is very aggressively looked at by some of the young voters. And then you've got the border situation around Texas. So he's got his own troubles that he's dealing in right now. And some of them, no fault of his own, but they're out there in a big election year.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, people rightly or wrongly tend to hold whoever sits in the White House as responsible for what's going on, you know, in the country and in the world. And certainly some of President Biden's policies are unpopular, but other things are things that no president has any control over, particularly things in foreign policy, where there's just so much that can happen that's unpredictable. You know, the polls right now nationally show this a very, very close election with Trump tending to be a little bit ahead, depending on which poll you look at. If you look at the swing states, though, Trump does seem to have a significant advantage. And by significant, I mean statistically significant advantage. And so President Biden has his work cut out for him. The first step, as you indicated, is to unify the Democratic Party. Many of the elements of the Democratic Party are not only unhappy with President Biden, they're unhappy with each other. So that's an important first step.
With us, Dr. John Green, professor of political science, again, University of Akron. And you kind of went where I wanted to wrap up our conversation. You're very much in and have educated me well on polls and what they're saying. We're almost to the halfway mark of 2024. What are the polls? And maybe dig in a little bit more, John, of what you're seeing in regards to Biden and Trump.
Well, I would say there are three really important findings from the polls as of today. And it's important to know that it's still 7 months or so before the election, and so much can change. But polls are best thought of as snapshots at a particular point of time. And one of the things we see is that there's an awful lot of Americans that are very unhappy with the prospect of another Biden-Trump election because they have unfavorable views of both men, you know, for different reasons, but nonetheless unfavorable views. At the moment, in these polls, Trump seems to have an advantage, and particularly in the battleground states. And this has a lot to do with the current controversies, you know, Israel, the border, social media, you know, you name it. There are a whole bunch of them out there. But, you know, a lot of it has to do with, of course, who turns out in November. And polls at this point, historically, not very good at predicting turnout. They predict attitudes, but they don't necessarily predict turnout. So I foresee a really intense campaign when both parties try to unify their voters and get them to show up and actually vote. And, of course, we're just going to have to be really careful to watch the polls as we get closer to the election to see what it might mean in terms of turnout.
And voter passion will be a big key, right, John? I mean, as you mentioned, because a lot of times in these primaries, it's already been determined it's going to be Biden against Trump, and then you got to connect with those voters, whether you're the Democrats to try to get you to come out and vote for Biden, or on the GOP ticket, whether you got to try to put aside some of your dislike for Trump and come out and vote. So getting those voters out in November, such a huge key as we get closer and closer.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And passion is going to be really important. Passion operates at two levels. At the level of the actual voters who are going to have to make some tough decisions and maybe decide whether to vote at all for president. Yeah. But then, of course, you have the activists, the people who are going to be making the phone calls, sending the emails, going door to door. And that level of passion can really make a difference.
John, great information again, my friend. Thanks for getting up with us and giving it certainly from your plate, which was a big plate of political info this morning. Thanks again, my friend.
You're welcome. Have a good day.